This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you on a rainy Sunday. Good to have you guys here. I'm doing announcements today. My name is Patrick. I'm one of the pastors here, so wanted to get you guys caught up. If you have your phone and you haven't already, we have on the screen the QR code for today's message, to connect with the church, with announcements, all kinds of things there. You can sign up for our newsletter. You might want to go and grab that now or just look up the app and get that, because we want to get you guys connected with everything that God's doing here, so that's one of the reasons we do that. And a couple announcements we want to hit on today. First of all, small groups start today, this week. So if you haven't joined a small group yet, we have a card out in the lobby. You can just take that. It's a QR code. You can click on that and get signed up. There is actually a small group that is meeting next hour, and Brandon is leading that. Brandon, if you'll raise your hand, he's back there. So at the end of this service, if you want to go with him and his group, they're going to go over to the Ministry Center, and they are studying the Sermon on the Mount. They start today. You'll get in, get started, and really dive into God's Word. So we want to encourage you to do that. My group meets tonight at our house. We're doing this study called Rooted, and you're welcome to come. Just see me at the end of the service. And then Thursday night, we have the group of groups. They're coming together for something a little bit different. If you like the small group experience, want to try something different, they're going to meet, going to worship, they're going to dive into the Word, and they're going to break up into smaller groups for some accountability, disciple-making, that kind of thing. So that's Thursday night. There's childcare for that. Again, see Brandon into the service. You want to find out more. And then we had a group that kicked off yesterday. We are starting something new. It's called Stephen Ministry here for the church. It's an existing group that helps with lay counseling. And they had a group that came yesterday to find out more, to get started. Really excited about that, because we feel like a lot of people are dealing with mental health issues, emotional stresses they're going through. So this group is being trained to help with those kind of situations. So that's already started, but you can still get started with that. I think Tom is here. Tom, if you raise your hand, he is heading that up with his wife, Cass. And so if you have questions about Stephen Ministry, love to have you there. Second announcement and last announcement today we want to make is 2 weeks from today is our 15th birthday as a church. So we're going to celebrate, all right? So we're going to have that day. We want you to come. I want you to come ready to celebrate all that God's done, his faithfulness, and all the things that we've gone through over the last 15 years. And then that day, we'll ask you guys to say into the second, not second service, but the in-between, we're going to have food, we're going to have a chance to get to know people. People have been part of the family for a while, we're inviting to come back. And we're going to ask you, a couple of you guys, to do something. We need someone that's willing to make pigs in a blanket. We want to have those. So if you're interested in helping make some of those, that used to be the thing we had every week for setup and teardown. So we'd love for you, some of you, to make those. And then also sausage balls. We'd love to have that. We're going to get biscuits and some other things. So during the services next week, come ready to celebrate and for the services. So you don't look 15. You guys don't look 15. So you look better. You look better. How about that? Is that good? Want to transition from there. So hope that you'll come and join us in 2 weeks for our 15th birthday. And then you don't know the second hour people. Some of you don't. So hopefully we'll have some overlap and you get to know the rest of the church and they'll get to know you too. We want to build relationships. So that's our announcements for today. Today we are setting out a new course on a 3-week series we're calling Celebration. We want to celebrate some things over the next few weeks. We already mentioned the 15th birthday anniversary, but also celebrate some things this week and next and just talk about what does it mean to have a celebration. And I'm going to start with a definition, because if you have to define it, like what's a celebration, it kind of makes me wonder, but let's define it, okay? So here's a definition for celebration. It's to acknowledge a significant or happy day or event with a social gathering or enjoyable activity. I mean, you guys know that, right? You already know what a party is. You know what it means to celebrate. But some of us are more comfortable with it than others, right? Some people like me, I have to work at celebration, and God has always reminded me I need to celebrate more. Some of you don't need an excuse to party. You're just a party waiting to happen, right? Some of you guys, just wherever you go or you have kids, they walk in the room, the world changes, right? So here's a quick kind of check. How many of you guys are extroverts in here? Where's our extroverts? Okay. All right. Where's our introverts in here? They're in the back, mostly. So we got a good mix in here. We got a good mix that's good. So the party people, it's kind of early for the party people, but you already got your food. You're ready to go. You're smiling. The introverts are going, okay, I'm here. I'm dealing with this. Just don't talk to me for a while, right? We're kind of working on that. So we have different groups here, and we celebrate differently, and we want to talk about what does that mean over the next 3 weeks. Our key verse for this is taken from Psalm 118, verses 27 to 29. This is from the CEV version, which I like. And it says this, "The Lord is our God. The Lord is our God, and he has given us light." And I love this way it puts it. "Start the celebration. March with palm branches all the way to the altar. The Lord is my God. I will praise him and tell him how thankful I am. Tell the Lord how thankful you are, because he is kind and always merciful." It's about celebrating. It's about coming before the Lord and celebrating in the way that he has put it in our heart to celebrate him. You know, we get so used to our routines that sometimes we don't celebrate. And we want to take this 3 weeks and just talk about what does it mean to celebrate? How do you celebrate? What does it look like for different people? Because again, some of you are ready to party, some of you like you have to kind of draw it out of you. And we all look a little bit different when we celebrate. For those that are ready to party, like any excuse to party is good. You know, it rained, you're partying. It's sunny, you're partying. You're just ready to go. Somebody showed up, you're partying. You just love that. For other people, it's like, I don't know. You don't like parties. Parties are hard for the introvert because you have to talk. You feel like this spotlight is on you. It's too loud. It's too noisy. You just want to be with your group of friends because you like to celebrate. You just want to know who the people are. And some of you are kind of like Martha, right? You remember with Jesus and Mary and Martha? They were throwing a dinner party for Jesus. Martha's running around all the time. She's trying to get things ready. Mary is right there at the feet of Jesus. She's celebrating. She's, you know, just spending time with him. Martha comes in. She's got all this stuff on her mind. And she says, "Jesus, tell Mary to get involved. Get her to partying." And he's going, "She's doing the right thing. She's doing the right thing." And for many of us, you're going, if I was at the party, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd be getting all the stuff ready, trying to make sure everything was good, everybody was comfortable. And you would be doing the same thing, right? You kind of relate to Martha. And I get it. In the verses that we just read, it said, "Bring the palm branches and come down the aisle." And I thought, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should just do that, bring palm branches. And somebody going, that would be great. Somebody going, I won't come that day. If you make me do that, I'm not coming that day. Just tell me what day. I'll stay at home and watch it online, right? Or some of you are going, I'll cut the palm branches. I'll hand them off. I'll stand at the door and let other people walk in, but I'm not doing that, right? That's kind of where you are. And that's okay because we're all a little bit different. I love in the Old Testament when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city, and King David is following, and he's got stripped down to just no clothes, I mean, just very little, and he's dancing, right? He's celebrating to the Lord, which you have children that will do that, right? Do you have children who strip all their clothes off and come walking through the house and they're just singing with joy? Some of you have. Some of you, that was you, all right? And the whole time David's dancing to the Lord and his wife's going, you're embarrassing me. You're just driving me crazy like this. And she's saying, you're just making a laughing stock out of you. And he's going, I'm partying to the Lord and I'll do even crazier stuff than this. Just give me a chance. And some of you are going, that's awesome. Some of you are going, that's embarrassing. I don't want any part of that. So where are you with this? Where are you with celebration? Because here's the deal. I bet most of you are like me in some sense. You don't celebrate the Lord nearly enough. I'm a person that is always looking for the next hill to climb. That's how I work. If I'm done with something, my next thought is, what's next? What's next to go? I got things to do. I got to get ready. And I don't stop and celebrate. I don't stop and celebrate the Lord enough. And we want to take these 3 weeks and say, what does that look like? It looks differently to different people, but we're going to talk about what's the essence of celebration. To do that today, we're going to look at one type of celebration. If you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 35, verses 4 through 5, we're going to kind of skip around. I'll tell you when we're skipping. So Exodus 35 is what we're going to talk about today. This is one type of celebration, and I want to set it up for you. You know Exodus, right? Exodus is about the exit from Egypt. Easy to remember. The Israelites had been slaves for 400 years. And then they were given freedom, and they are marching across the desert, trying to get to the promised land. They had to go on a 40-year detour. And then God says, we're going to celebrate. We're going to stop and we're going to celebrate. And the way we're going to celebrate is we're going to build a tabernacle where you can meet with me. Because true celebration for the Christ followers, when we come to God fully as we are, right? And we just connect with him with our spirit and his spirit and our heart and his heart. And it looks differently for different people, but that's the idea of a celebration for the follower of Jesus. It's about connecting with him in a really powerful way. And so they're gathering, and he says, we're going to build the tabernacle. We're going to prepare for this. And this is what he told them to do. Exodus 35, 4 through 5, he's talking through Moses, and this is what it says. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze. And then after that, there's this long list, which we're going to kind of skip. But the long list says, bring in yarns, all kinds of yarns, colorful yarns, different colors that you want to bring together. Bring together leathers. We want you to bring different kinds of leather. We're going to use that, metals and jewels and incense and precious stones. And then I want you to bring your talents too. I want someone, people that can put this stuff together, because we're going to build a tabernacle where you can meet with me, and I want you to bring that stuff in. And then in verses 21 and 22, it says this, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for all the holy garments. Now stop there before we move on, because I want to get to the essence of celebration. The essence of celebration is this, in this verse, it says two things. If you have it in front of you, you might want to highlight it. If you have it on your phone, I'm going to point it out. It says, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him. See, the heart of celebration is simply your heart being stirred and your spirit being moved. Again, it looks different for different people. For some people, when their heart is stirred, they get tears in their eyes. For some of you, when you're full of joy, your eyes are full of water, right? You're just there, you're celebrating, a baby's been born, you're having a party, it's a birthday, it's a retirement, whatever, and you're fully engaged with joy and celebration, but for you, there's tears. For some people, it's like this. I've seen this over and over at football games. You see this, they just won, they pulled it out, and you put your hands like this because you can barely contain it, and you don't want anybody to see it, so you put your hands up like this, but inside, you're about to blow up. Because your heart is moved and your spirit is moved and you can't stand it almost. For some people, it's touchdown, right? Hands up. You ever do this in a football game? It's like you do it at a baseball game, which makes no sense why we do this at baseball, because it has nothing to do with baseball. But this sign right here for the Christian is a sign I'm reaching toward God like a child. And I just want to be there and I want to hug. Right now. Do you have little kids? Have you ever been around little kids and they walk up to you and they go like this? You can't help but pick them up, right? It's like, I want you to be with me. You want to be with me. It's just a celebration and your heart is filled and it's moved. You get a score back on a grade that you had. It was really, really good and you kind of do this thing, right? That's your celebration because you can't make a big deal out of it because it looks obnoxious, right? But you get the test back and you just do this. You look out on a beautiful sunset. And you're just moved, and you gasp, and it just kind of enters your soul, and your spirit is moved, and your heart is filled, and you're celebrating. For some people, you like to shout. Some people like to clap. I always think it's interesting, like, we'll compare. I want you to know we compare first and second services sometime about do you clap in between and do you not clap? And I'm not going to tell you who wins, but, like, we kind of talked about that because some of you like to clap in our church. They like to clap, and they like to cheer, and you hear a whoop, whoop sometime, and we know who's here and who's not here if we don't hear the whoop, whoop in between songs sometimes. But it's okay because sometimes you're just quiet. And you're contemplating and you're celebrating. And it's okay if you don't clap. It's okay if you don't whoop whoop. But here's the other part. If you want to whoop whoop, it's okay too. We hear that because that's celebration. It looks different for different people. But the thing that's the same for everyone, there's something happening in your heart and there's something happening in your soul, in your spirit, that causes you to recognize that something amazing has just happened. God said to the people, I want you to bring stuff in. I want you to bring stuff in, but I want it to be from your heart, and I want it to be from your spirit. The next verse is this: so they came, both men and women, and all who were willing brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. Now, if you are a student of the Bible, of history, you know what's going on. These are slaves, former slaves. Their people had been enslaved for over 400 years. And they become slaves in their minds, and they become bound by Egypt, and then Moses shows up by the leading of God, and he frees them through the plagues, right? And the plagues got progressively worse for the Egyptians, until at the end of the 10th one, when God commanded the firstborn would be killed unless there was the blood of the lamb over the threshold. When that happened, the Egyptians turned to the Israelites and said, "Leave. Go. Not only do we want you to go, we will give you our stuff. Here's all our gold, because our lives are more important than that. Here's our silver. Here's our rings. Here's the things that we have of value." And the slaves who had nothing became the richest people in the world, because the Egyptians just poured everything out. Get out of here. Leave. Take our stuff and go. And the people who had been slaves for 400 years are wandering the desert with all this stuff. We don't think about that. We think, well, how did they survive? They have all this stuff they're carrying. Riches galore, right? They had nothing, and suddenly they're rich. And God says, okay, I've taken care of you for these 40 years out in the desert. I want you to party. And they came, and they brought all kinds of stuff. Here's the stuff that you gave us, God. Here's the stuff that was given to us. It doesn't really belong to us. We want to give it away. And they brought stuff for the tabernacle. Now, if you skip to chapter 36, verses 2 through 7, we're going to see what else happened during that time. So they bring all the stuff, and then verse 2 of chapter 36 is this: and Moses called two craftsmen, Bezalel, and I love this guy's name. Nobody names himself Oholiab. Oholiab, great name. And every craftsman, because these guys were really the best craftsmen, and every other craftsman whose mind the Lord had put skill, so God had given them skill, and everyone whose heart stirred him up to come do the work. Again, the heart was stirred up. They wanted to give back to God. They wanted to give their talents to God and use them. Next verse says, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task, I missed a verse. And they received from Moses all the contribution the people of Israel had brought for doing the work of the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, so they're all working. And next verse, and said to Moses, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work the Lord has commanded us to do. He said, they're bringing too much. They're bringing too much. They're bringing all this stuff. And they're trying to make stuff out of it, and they are getting too much stuff to deal with. So Moses, it says, did the next thing. He gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp to do this: let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. Probably never heard again. Tell them to stop giving, right? Have you ever heard that in church or anywhere? Okay, don't give anymore. I don't want it. Got too much already. Overflowing. There's more work here than we can ever do. Never heard again. But at that time, it was like, stop giving. Because their hearts were so stirred, and their hearts were so filled, and their spirit was so moved. To go, here's everything we have. Here's everything that we have. Take it for God. Next verse says this: the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work. And I love this, and more. And more. What we're celebrating today, one of the reasons we're talking about this, is today we celebrate the end of the Multiply campaign. If this is your first day, or first time, just kind of know what's been happening at Bridges. On June the 12th, we gave out, I think, $3,800 in $100 increments to the church. And we said, we want you to do this. God has given you skills, given you interests, given you things to do. We want you to take the money and go invest it. And then bring it back on today, which is September 11th. Bring it back today, and we're going to take that money, and it's not going to be for us. This is not about us. This is about giving the money to Bridging the Gap, which is our nonprofit, and specifically to kind of fund those things that are happening there, but also to start a learning center. For the first time, after 10 years of dreaming of this, raising money, we said, bring the money back. We're going to start this learning center. And what we're going to do is there's kids in our community that need to know Jesus. And there's kids in our community that are dealing with poverty every single day. And there's kids in our community that deal with things that bring them into bondage. We know children in our community that their parents are alcoholics. We know children in our community whose parents do drugs and they pour their attention to that. We know kids in our community that stay at home all day long without people around them that love them or care about them. We know kids that come out of homes where they're dealing with violence. We know kids here that get no encouragement. We know kids here that don't speak the language well. They struggle in school because they start so far behind everybody else, and they live right here where God's placed us. We said, we've got to do something about it, because there's the two kind of options that you have. You can complain about it, or you can do something about it. And when God says do something, we're like, God, what do we need to do? So we said, okay, the best thing that we can think of, that we have the skill and ability that we've been given, is to start an after-school program where we tutor, where we mentor, where we pour our lives into a group of students, and we say, look, God loves you. And so we're bringing the money in today for that. And we are celebrating the fact that God has already poured his life into us. And out of that, we are giving back. Now, kind of know what this learning center is going to be about. Just to give you a picture. And we talked about it before, but again, maybe you haven't heard. But the basic idea is this is going to be a place of celebration. Here's the deal. When these kids come in, they're going to have a birthday party. Because every child needs to have a birthday party. If you have a child, you gave them birthday parties. Some of them don't get them. So when it's their birthday, they have a birthday party. When they do something well, it's going to be celebrated. They're going to be encouraged. They're going to be said, you have done well. We're going to tell them how much God loves them. We're going to celebrate a life. We're going to celebrate a life to a group of kids who don't have that, who don't get to experience that because they don't know that in their families. And these kids are going to hear it from people who love Jesus. The love of God comes through us to these kids. We're going to celebrate. It's going to be a place of hope and a place of joy. Our key verse will be Jeremiah 29:11. You probably know it, and you probably live it, where God talked to a group of exiles, and he says, look, I haven't forgotten you. And he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future, a hope and a future. You know, you probably think that every day. God has a plan. God has a plan. Have you ever thought about children who don't know that? Who have never heard that? That the God of the universe created them for a purpose and a reason, and he has something for them? This will be the verse they learned every week to get it in their hearts and get in their head. God put me here for a reason, and he has a plan. And not only does he have a plan, it's a good plan. It's an amazing plan. And because he has a plan, I have a hope and a future. The purpose of this is to point them to Jesus, because that's where our hope is, right? We can do all kinds of amazing things to help them in school, but if they don't know Jesus, what good is it? But we want them to not only know Jesus, but to get into their lives, people who love them and care about them, and help them in school, and help them develop in their lives the skills that they need to follow God's plan. And we're going to point them to that. Say, God may call you to college. We'll help you get there. God may have a career for you. We're going to help you get there. God may call you to be a parent. We're going to help you get there. We're going to help you in whatever God calls you to do to be the best at it that you can be. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what this money's for. The third thing, this is going to be a place of generosity. We've already talked about the fact that we're giving money for it. But you know what? Generosity is more than money. It's about giving our lives to something and someone. For these kids, this is what we're going to ask you to do. Some of you in the room, we're going to ask you to be mentors. To sit with a kid that's going to be your child that you're going to love on, and you're going to say, I'm going to help you through life. Some of you will be tutors. And you go, I'm going to help a child learn to read and do math. And we'll put you with the appropriate child, because if you don't know how to do the math they know how to do, we'll find somebody else. Okay, that's okay. But some of you in here, we're going to ask you to come and be a tutor. Some of you will be sponsors. And you'll meet the families. And you'll spend time with their families. This is not something we're just going to do from a distance. We want to be right there, walking with them, saying, we're going to help you. We love you with the love of Christ. So it'll be a place of great generosity. Again, not just money, Money is money. It'll be a generosity of your life given to what God wants us to do. It's a powerful thing. And so today, we're asking you to bring your money in. If you forgot, I've already taught a couple of you, we didn't bring our money. It's okay, all right? There's envelopes out in the hallway. I think Brandon will help you. Jamie will help you get the money in. You can still send in. The deadline was already, but that's okay. We still say, bring your money in. We're going to announce it next week. If you want to give the $100 back, that's great. Just give it back. If you have something you want to add to it, that's even better. If God's moving you to give, then just give. But let it be from what God calls you to do. Because that's what celebration is, right? It's about being in your heart. I heard this story the other day. Jeff Foxworthy, you guys know Jeff Foxworthy. He's a comedian. He's probably the highest selling comedian ever. I read that somewhere. What I didn't know is he's a Christian. And at age 7, he was given the altar call. You guys remember the altar call? We like come down and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he wanted to come at 7. His mom wouldn't let him. She made him stop because you're not old enough. You're not old enough. But he went around her and went to the preacher, and the preacher came to mom and said, he's old enough. So he accepted Jesus. He said his path to Jesus is more like this. Some of us are like straight and narrow. His is more like this. But he's just following Jesus. One night he went to a show with his wife and his two daughters in Atlanta, and they had to go to the restroom, and he had nothing to do. He's standing in the lobby. And there at the lobby was a table set up for Mission Atlanta. Mission Atlanta is this organization that takes care of homeless people. And having nothing to do, he went up to the guy and said, well, tell me what you do and everything. And the guy was telling him what they do, and the guy says, how about if we go to lunch sometime? How about if you come to the mission and have lunch? And he's going, okay. So he wrote the number on the brochure and handed it to him, and Jeff Foxworthy took it home and did what most of us would do, put it on the kitchen counter, right, and forgot it. And every time his wife, and some of you wives know this, or husbands if you're the neat one in the family, every time it's time to clean, the wife would go, why don't we just throw this away? You're not doing anything with it. Can we get rid of it? He says, no, there's something there. So months went by, and he picked it up one day, and he called the guy and says, I'll come for lunch. I'll come and just see whatever. And in his mind, he's going, the reason he wants me to come is because he wants me to do a show, and I'm going to raise money, and they're going to take the money and everything. That's what you would think, right? So he goes and has lunch, and during the lunch, he says to the guy, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And the guy goes, this is what I want from you. I want you to lead a small group for homeless people. And he's going, out of the 6.5 million people in Atlanta, you want, like me, I'm like the least qualified. And some of you feel that, right? I'm the least qualified to help. Lead a small group. He says, yes. At 6:30 in the morning. It's like at 6:30 on Tuesday morning. Okay. So he goes to Chick-fil-A at 6:15, stands out in front, and he buys biscuits because he figures nobody's going to be in his small group. I better buy biscuits, which is the key to any really good small group is the food that you serve, okay? We all know that. So tonight at 5 at our house, we're having Mexican if you want to come, all right? If you're not in small group, you can still come, all right? But he went and bought Chick-fil-A biscuits. He shows up, 12 people come in his small group, and he's just figuring it out. And he's just loving on people, and he's just being himself. And he's trying not to, and after a while, he stopped being Jeff Foxworthy and just became Jeff. He just became Jeff. Well, that group grew, and they had to start other groups until that group of 12 became a group of 250. And one time, and Jeff went to the director of the place, and he says, look, these people are always getting handouts, or just learning to get handouts. I want to do something different. I want to give them $100 each. Sound familiar? He says, I want to give them $100 each and tell them to do whatever they want with it. And the director says, no way. Because what's going to happen is they're going to hear about this. They're going to buy drugs. They're going to buy alcohol. It's going to get in the news, and everybody's going to come down on us. We gave away all this money. So they bartered back and forth. He says, I'll do it. They got it down to $50. Got it down to $50, right? We'll give them $50, see what happens. It's not a big loss. So they gathered the 250 people in this room right before Christmas, and they gave them $50 each. When they came in, and they heard around the room people going, oh, I'm gonna use this to buy presents for my family. I'm gonna use this to buy a bus ticket to go home. I'm gonna do these different things with this money. And then they took a basket. Jeff Foxworthy put a basket in the room. He says, guys, this is what's happened. 3 blocks down the street, there's a school here in inner city Atlanta, and it's burned down. And the kids lost what they had left over there over the weekend. They don't have, some of them don't have gloves anymore. It's the winter. They don't have coats. Some of them lost their school supplies. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a party for 300 of them. and we're going to give them stuff, and I'm going to put the basket out there, and we've decided as leaders, we'll double whatever you put in there. So if you want to give me that money back, we'll just give it back, and we'll double it, then we'll go from there. And then he just shut up, and he thought, this is not going to work. You know, you ever done that? This is stupid. This is not going to work. And one by one, all 250 people got up and put their $50 in the basket. And he said, that was really cool. But then what happened with these homeless people, they started reaching their pockets and taking out crinkled, messed up dollar bills and began to put it in the basket. And then he went and got their change. You could hear it clinking, I guess, in the basket. They went back to their rooms and brought out more. And he said in his heart, he just felt the stirring, right? He just felt it happen. And so he had to go into a different room. While everybody else was celebrating, he sobbed. He just started crying because it was like he saw God. And I think that's the thing about celebration. You know, it's just this overwhelming sense of I'm doing exactly what God's calling me to do, and he's overwhelming me with his spirit, and he's teaching me something. I just want to celebrate that. And for some, it's like they were partying in the room. They were jumping up and down like, this is the greatest thing ever. And other people, like Jeff Foxworthy, were just sobbing because his heart was moved at that moment. And I think that's what we want to talk about the next few weeks. Celebration looks different for everybody. It absolutely looks different. You'll express it in different ways. But it's your heart. When your heart is moved, that's what celebration is. You can go to a party. You can go to a wonderful party, and you can feel absolutely miserable, right? You ever done that before? Everybody else is having a good time, you feel terrible. And then you can be off by yourself and absolutely feel wonderful because your heart is singing. That's the key. Where's your heart? Today, we are bringing the money back. We're just going to celebrate. And again, if you don't have it, whenever you, if you do want to send it in, if you want to send any, but we're just going to celebrate what God does. And to kind of set that up, I'm going to end with this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. This is the Amplified Version. It said, let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Like, this is not designed to, like, make anybody feel guilty ever. That's not celebration. That's guilt. For God loves a cheerful giver. The original idea of this was hilarious. A hilarious giver. Somebody gives with just hilarity in their heart. They're laughing either on the inside or the outside, just giving to God. And delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. That's what today is about. Again, next week we'll announce it, wherever it may be. Whatever God brings in, and God's going to bring in some stuff. There's already some great stories. If you had a group of Multiply, we want your pictures because we want to show them next week. So if you're a Multiply leader of a group, send me those pictures. We already have a bunch. We want even more. And next week, we're just going to say, God, thank you. Because like the Israelites, we were slaves too. We were slaves to sin. And God has freed us. And out of that freedom, we just give back to him. So let's pray. Father God, at this moment, this time, we want to look back and see what you've done for us. All the things you've done for us, the answered prayers, the provision, the direction, the peace, the joy, helping us overcome sins and addictions and habits, and giving us people in our life that we can love and care for, and giving us direction and a future and a hope. All these things are such amazing gifts. And out of that giving heart that you have, we just give ourselves back to you. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's gifts, but it's basically a heart that's willing to do whatever you've asked us to do. That's what we give back. We can give nothing else, nothing better. It's all we have is ourselves. Thank you for all that you've done for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Here at Bridges, we celebrate communion every week. It's such an interesting word to talk about somebody on a cross. The idea of the cross, that we actually wear that and put it in a room, is just an amazing thing. It's because that is an instrument of death. In the first churches, they would not have a cross up there because they would see it all the time. And it was just a reminder as they would walk to where they were going, there were people hanging on them all over the place. You would not put a cross up anywhere. It's no act of celebration. It's an act of shame and humiliation. It's a sign of death. We've turned it into a sign of celebration, which is good because we know the cross is empty and the grave is empty. So we celebrate that. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, Paul is writing about this. He says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich and had everything, heaven itself, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. In other words, we all come as slaves to sin. We all come with our own brokenness before we know Jesus, and then he sets us free. And then he pours every spiritual blessing into us as willing we are to receive. He gives until we're overflowing. Out of his riches, we have been made rich, though we don't deserve it. And when you eat the bread and drink the juice, it's a reminder of the celebration of what Jesus has done for us, because he loved us. And he loves us still. And he's still pouring into us. And he's still giving to us. And he's still making our lives perfect in him. So I'm going to pray, and when you come up, you may celebrate in the way you want to. Maybe you'll have a smile as you eat the bread and drink the juice. Maybe you'll just be quiet. Maybe you want to just go outside and yell. That's okay too. You know, Jesus, you did it. Fist up, hands raised, whatever you want to do. But make sure your heart is moved and your spirit is filled through your celebration. Let's pray. In the quietness of this moment, in the stillness of this time, we recognize the generosity of Jesus, who became a human being, left heaven, poured himself out, and became a servant willing to go to the cross to die for us. He took it to the full extent, and he poured himself out for us so that our lives would be enriched and forgiven. So, Father God, in this moment, as we take the bread and drink the juice, we remember that sacrifice, and we live rich lives because of it. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Come and share communion. There's tables on either side and up front, too. You can just come and receive.